Hello and welcome back to Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories. Today I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined with Simon Baum. I strongly encourage you to check out his work. He has, in my humble opinion, the best podcast on the subject. It's called The Alien UFO Podcast, hosted by Simon Baum. But if you guys just go to Spotify, type in The Alien UFO Podcast, you'll find his work. He has a tremendous amount of episodes or interviews on this podcast. He also hosts another one called The Past Lives. That's Past Lives. It's absolutely phenomenal. It has a lot to do with, obviously, past lives, a little bit to do with near-death experiences, and once in a while, OBEs, that's out-of-body experiences. Simon, would you like to say hi?
Hi. Yeah, it's great to be talking to you. I'm quite excited. This is going to be great.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you. I feel like I'm just, I've heard every single episode that you've done. I'm a real psycho about it. Sometimes like the one you did with Dolly Safran, I'm not kidding. I listened to it 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
was Preston also on that one? Preston Dennett?
Yeah, I've talked to him a number of times, and I'm recording an episode with him soon as well because he's got a new book.
Yeah, he does. I'm actually going to be on their podcast telling my experience, I think sometime in October. And maybe I'll put that link in the description. But I'd also like to talk about pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. Is that okay if we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, that's my website for my past life regression, because I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and I got a diploma with the National Council for Hypnotherapy here in the UK. And I specialize in taking people through past life regression. So on that website, it's got, you know, loads of information about past life regression therapy. And it's got loads of testimonials, and there's a booking page. People can go into my calendar and book there. So it's a basic website. I built it myself, and it's not amazing, but it does the job.
Yeah, it's really good. And if there's one more we can plug, if it's okay, Simon, your book, November Asteroid, a science fiction short story collection by Simon Bound. Or if you want to be more specific, it's by Simon Garfield Bound. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my middle name. And that book is on Amazon. It's on Kindle, and you can get it on paperback. And it's just a few short stories that I wrote, science fiction stuff, and I tried to make them quite different from each other. And it came about, this was years ago, I was watching Star Trek The Next Generation, and I really liked it. And then one weekend I watched an episode, and I thought, oh, this isn't very good. I could write a better episode than this. Mm-hmm. And my wife was like, well, go on then, if you're so clever. So I started writing, and so I wrote some short stories, and I've written a novel as well. And the novel's not out on Amazon, but I really enjoyed that. It's fun to write.
Yeah, to be honest, Simon, I don't think I'm aware of your novel. When or where can we find it? Is it available now?
It's not at the moment. I took it down because the title of the book was Immortal Suicide. And I was talking to this guy, Richard Martini, who self-publishes on Amazon a lot, and I was saying to him, this is the title of the book, and he's like, no, you can't call it that. That's the suicide is a trigger word, and Amazon have got algorithms that will put your book way down on the listing if you have that. So I've taken it off so I can retitle it and put it back up, but then of course that means it needs a new cover, and I had the cover done professionally, which was expensive. So you know, I've got to go through all that process, and then I'll put it back online.
Hmm. Well, when you do, we'd love to promote it. If you can send me the links, maybe the Amazon Prime link, wherever else they can find it. So, Simon, I've been a humongous fan of your program or podcast. I first discovered it with the Past Lives podcast. I strongly encourage you guys to go listen to it, especially if you're into, you know, past lives, obviously, near-death experiences and OBEs, that's out-of-body experiences. And you've also been working on a tremendous podcast called the Aliens UFO Podcast. In my humble opinion, it's the best one on the subject. I'll put the links below, guys. I really do hope that you guys check it out. And Simon, what made you kind of shift your focus from past lives to aliens and UFOs?
Well, I've always had an interest in both of them. And over the years, I've had little experiences, two close-up UFO sightings. And they weren't just a light in the sky. One of them was a craft that was about 25 foot off the ground, and maybe just 200 feet from me. And it just sat there, didn't move an inch, and was completely silent. And then I've had all these other little experiences with psychic flashes and this weird thing with feathers. And I used to go to the College of Psychic Studies in London. And that wasn't that I was a student there. There were people who were training to be mediums and psychics and channels, taking people through past life regression. So you could pay a little bit of money and sit with the student and they could practice mediumship, or you could pay a lot more money and sit with one of the teachers. And, you know, I was like, I'm an investigator, is how I'd say it. It's not that I was trying to contact somebody that had died, and I was, you know, had some grief, and I was really looking for evidence. And that's one of the things that my podcast is all about, Past Lives Podcast, is finding evidence that consciousness survives death. Sorry, just clearing my throat then. I was interested in all of this stuff since I was small, back in the 70s. I'm showing how old I am now. I would read books about UFOs as well as the afterlife, reading about Travis Walton, Betty Andreessen, those people. And also I was reading Raymond Moody's book called Life After Life, which is all about near-death experiences. And that was really the first book about near-death experiences, about 1975. And he's the guy that coined that phrase. And so I started doing Past Lives Podcast, and that was going okay. And I was talking to all these people, and I was still fascinated by UFOs. And I brought occasionally a guest into Past Lives Podcast that was a UFO guest. And I just felt, this isn't enough. I want to do more, because every single guest, just about every single guest, has a book. I always talk to authors. And that's how my process works, is that I get their book, I read as much of it as I can. And by doing that, I kind of get my questions together for them for the interview. And so I try and do interviews that are more in depth. And I've had guests say to me, you know, I've been on lots of podcasts and you had some really good questions there. And so I've learned so much doing that podcast, Past Lives Podcast. And I'm reading all these UFO books and I'm not interviewing anybody. And I'm thinking, you know, I'd really like to talk to Mike Cleland or Kevin Randall about Roswell, or, you know, this guy and that guy. So I was thinking, you know, during COVID, the company I work for, sent us all home, basically. And so I was here all day. And I thought, I'd start a UFO podcast. I got the time. So that's really how it started. And it's been really good. And I've gained a lot more knowledge than I had before, because I've read so many books, because it's about 80 episodes now of the Alien UFO Podcast. And so I've gained all that information with the Past Lives Podcast, 280 episodes, and I've read all those books. It's been like a college course, you know. I could probably get a certificate or something.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you think back at like a lot of these people who've spoken directly to experiencers, abductees, that's not a word I really like to call. I don't think I've ever been abducted per se. I think, and I'm curious what you think about this, Simon. It seems like it shifted. I would say I was born in 86. According to Dolly Safran and Preston Dennett, I have been on craft. when I was younger, but I don't think, you know, my last experience, not that long ago, it didn't seem like I don't feel like I was on craft per se. I feel like they almost took my consciousness. Do you believe in that theory or not really?
Yeah, I do. I hear that. Because I've talked to quite a few people who have these ET encounters. I don't know if we should call them abductions so much. You're right. Some of these people will say, you know, I hurt my leg years ago and I walk with a limp. But when I was with the ETs, I had no limp. Or they'll say, I need really strong glasses to see. But when I was with the ETs, I had no glasses and my sight was just fine. So it's almost like it's like they are taken from their bodies, some kind of out-of-body experience. And then that leads on to the question, well, what is it that's coming out of the body? Is this their soul or their spirit? And then there's a link there to the afterlife. And does that mean the ETs know all about the afterlife? And, you know, it gets more complicated and you start going down the rabbit hole. But there is a thing of being outside your body in a near-death experience. And it seems that the description of that experience is the same as these ET experiences are describing. So that this is part of the thing that I find so fascinating. And also there's that thing that the more you learn, the more you know, and the more confused you get, because it just gets more complicated. And it doesn't help you reach a conclusion, which in a way makes the podcast production so much fun and so interesting, because for me, the weirder it is, the more interesting it is. So with the ET experiences, some people have such high strangeness, and that is really fascinating to me.
Yeah, I can speak to that briefly about high strangeness briefly. So I mean, anything from, you know, I have a very strong connection with owls, whether they're presenting themselves as owls or you know, if I telepathically ask for them to show me an owl or let me at least hear one. The most recent was about 5 weeks ago. Are you familiar with Nick Hunter from UFO Chronicles, Simon?
No, I'm not.
He's also from the UK. His podcast is absolutely phenomenal. He's more interested in bringing on experiencers that are not really, you know, they're just not really all the way public. They haven't done many interviews, if at all. And, you know, they don't have books. He's just really interviewing people who are everyday experiencers who, you know, just decided to reach out. And that's exactly what I did. I was on an episode of his, and I was only sharing about 40% of my experiences, because that other 60% was really hard to talk about. And it's the first time I ever went public. So I also encourage you guys to go to Spotify, Apple, and check out the UFO Chronicles hosted by Nick Hunter. But it, in my opinion, far and away, the best two podcasts on the subject, it's not even close. It's yours and Nick's. And but yeah, so sorry, I'm rambling a little bit. I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
But I went on his and I spoke quite a bit. And I spoke to Mike Cloland about the connection that myself and my family have with owls. we've also had them fly above us, between us. We had an owl on Christmas Day. And Simon, I apologize. I'm not sure if is Christmas celebrated in the UK?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. But yeah, it was December 25th. We were throwing a party, not a party. We were throwing a Christmas party with my family, every single child in our family, which is a lot. And, you know, friends of the family. We had an owl fly right between us at waist level on Christmas Day. We also had an owl present themselves. Could have been three. In Indiana, when my wife and I went to Indiana for Easter, which is also a Christ-related holiday. I don't know why they present themselves on those days, but they seem to keep doing it, and I find it very fascinating. So can you tell us a little bit more about your website?
Yeah, well, there's connections there with the way the website works, because you click on a button at the top, podcast, that actually takes you to a whole other website, which is the podcast website. And there's a description of a past life regression that I was taken through, where I saw myself in a past life, and it seemed to be Venice in the 16th century. And I was looking to go to Venice this year and see if I could find those locations that I saw in the past life regression. Because when I was at the College of Psychic Studies, this was about 1987, I think 88, I was taken through a past life regression where I saw myself as a child in Victorian London, maybe 1895. And I was in this park, and it was a very steep slope, and it was a weird sort of place to have a park, you know, because usually they're level, but this was really steep. And later on, a couple of years after that past life regression, I was going through a part of North London I'd never been to before, and there was the park exactly as I'd seen it in the past life regression. And so as I'd seen that location and it gave me that kind of confirmation, I thought it'd be fun to go to Venice and see if I could confirm that other past life in some way, because I don't think I got a name or an exact year or place, but from what I saw there, it looked like Venice. And the testimonials from people are interesting. They talk about their past life regressions and how their experiences were for them. Yes, so I've tried to make the website good and interesting, you know, but the best thing to do to learn about past life regression is just to book a call with me, because I'll do a 20-minute call for free. And if somebody wanted to do a past life regression, wanted to learn about it, I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, that's really kind of you. And I strongly suggest you guys go to the website. It's in the show notes. It's easy to find. Just give it a click and see if you can get in connection with Simon. He's doing a lot of good work for the past lives and, you know, experiencers, community, and I think you guys would really enjoy it. If you don't mind me circling back, Simon, the craft that you saw, do you mind describing it for our new listeners who might not have heard your podcast yet?
Yeah, it was shaped, you guys over there would call it a football. I call it a rugby ball, that kind of elongated egg sort of shape. And it was the size of a really large house. And the bottom of it, one half of the bottom of it, was covered in these really bright little red lights. And coming from the other end of it was a really bright spotlight pointed at the ground. And it was so bright, you might even say it looked like it was a pole that was illuminated. And I was in my car and I was driving past, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was on a motorway, so I couldn't just stop and look. But there were no other cars around. And I slowed down to maybe 5 miles an hour and slowly went past it, having a good look at it as I leant forward, looking up through the windscreen. And also when I got home, I checked the time, because I know about this thing about missing time, and I didn't have any missing time. But it was in a place where there were no buildings, and I know that area quite well, which is why I slowed down in the first place when I saw this bright light off to the side, because I thought, there's definitely nothing there. That's just an empty field. And I have wondered about a couple of things there. One of them is, there was that really bright light pointing at the ground, and there's this kind of idea that when somebody's abducted, it's like a tractor beam comes out of the craft and pulls them up. And in a way, I wondered if I saw an abduction in progress. But also, there's this idea that you won't see a UFO unless they want you to see them. And so I drove past at a time. There were no other cars on the motorway, which was a little odd. I was the only person to see it. And it's almost like they did it on purpose. And it might sound like I think I'm special or something, that they want to show themselves to me, but that's not it. it's this thing where some people are on a path and they get little signs and messages. These odd things happen, and it's almost like they're being deliberately moved down a path. And so they showed a UFO to me as a bit of a kick. It's like, come on, pay attention. And that was so many years ago. And then a few years later, when I saw this other UFO, which was a big orange ball of light that was about the size of a car, and that was just a few feet off the ground and just stayed exactly where it was the whole time. And that was silent as well. And so it was almost like that's another kick. And then when these other spiritual things happened to me, the psychic things and this thing with feathers, that's like a spiritual kick. And it's like they're working together. And I think this happens to a lot of people. And some people will get these little signs and not pay much attention and take much on board. And then there's what you might say a nerd like me who's really interested will spot it and think, oh, I wonder what that's all about. Because sometimes I think there are signs that come to us, and like they're trying to get a message over to you, whoever's giving you the sign, if it's ETs or some kind of spiritual thing. And sometimes we just don't get the message. And I imagine the spirits are up there and they're slapping their foreheads and thinking, what do we have to do to get through to this guy? But maybe what they wanted me to do was spread the information. And by doing the podcast, that was the point of it all, is to get me to do this. And that they do this for so many people who end up maybe writing books or doing podcasts, or they just go out to the spiritualist church, and you know, maybe their destiny is to become a medium. So they start finding that they have that talent and start developing it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I have this overwhelming feeling that I'm supposed to do my podcast to specifically help younger people. I don't know why I feel this way. I really don't. I've only had one response during meditation. And I don't want to talk about that. We already have too much. But nobody ever told me that that's what I'm supposed to do. But I have almost like, I'm not sure how to describe it, really. I just feel this overwhelming sense that I'm supposed to do the podcast to help younger people. So that's what I've been doing. And Simon, it sounds like that's what you've been doing. And yeah, I'm not really sure how to make sense of it. I've had a handful of things. I'm not psychic. Everybody I speak to tells me I am, especially Dolly. But I am clairaudible or clairaudience. Deb Shockey, Dolly Saffron, and Preston both told me what it was called. I for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. But the first time I had I was in a scenario in which I could hear something nearby but not make sense of what they were saying, it was in my late 20s, and it was always, I was not asleep or in a dream state whatsoever, but it was in the process of me slowly falling asleep. You know, I'd have a fan on or the TV low enough to where I couldn't hear it at all, really. But I would hear people talking, individuals talking. A lot of times it sounded like 2-3 people. Other times, like the most recent one that I had was last year, maybe about a year and two or four months ago. This was not long after my grandma died. And I was not asleep whatsoever. I had my fan on. I think that almost has something to do with it. It's almost like static in some sense. But this was 2 weeks after my grandma passed away. I did not want to think about it or process it whatsoever. I'm the only boy out of five kids. And so I was just trying to, you know, be emotionally strong for them. And then one day, you know, I'm a big guy from a bad city. I got jumped a bunch. I've been in plenty of fights. So this is not really my lane at all. But 2 weeks after she passed, I was having a really hard time with it because I was just starting to process it. I was very close with her. And I called my mom at work around like 1 p.m., 2 p.m. And I was having kind of a breakdown. And I was trying to talk to her, and it's really hard. And then later that day when I got home, I was exhausted, you know, just worked a long shift and just started processing all the stuff with my grandma passing away. And I was laying in bed attempting to fall asleep. It was probably, if I had to guess, 3:30, 4:30. My wife wouldn't get home till 5:30 or 6. So there was a window where I could just kind of take a nap before I had to make dinner. And I was laying in bed. I was not asleep whatsoever. And I start hearing footsteps in the distance. And that's the only way I can describe it. It almost sounded like footsteps, like if somebody was wearing high heels or hard shoes of some kind, maybe like business shoes. I don't know how else to describe it. But it was almost like it was very clear walking up, very clearly walking up to where I was. And first it was indistant. I couldn't make sense of anything. And then when they got a little closer in English, a man who sounded like he was a little older, maybe like 56 years old, said, "This is Tony's boy." So Tony is my father, and only people in the South would describe it that way in the United States. They would say, "This is," or he said, "This is Tony's boy." And then there was, it sounded like four people, and a woman who sounded much younger said, she just kind of went, "Oh, okay." And then they slowly started to walk away. And at one point, I could not move during any of this. I'm not somebody who suffers from sleep paralysis. I don't believe I've ever had it. But as soon as they got far enough away, I could get up out of the bed. And I, you know, my bed is right next to a window. I threw the window open. We live very close to a side street. I mean, if I had to guess, probably 30 feet away from my window. And I just assumed it was people talking outside. And nobody was there. It was dead silence. I ran downstairs. Nobody was in my house. And sorry I rambled there a bit, Simon, but I guess that's the closest thing I could relate to maybe some of these people that you're interviewing.
Yeah, there's such weird stories that come up and synchronicities. And there's this thing, I've talked to mediums about this. They say the spirit world are master orchestrators to bring things together. And what they did there, they might have just been giving you a sign, like we were talking about earlier. And it's like the owls flying past you. They're trying to give you a sign or just make you pay attention. I talked to a guy recently. He had a near-death experience, and he, during the near-death experience, he was asked to give a message to a young woman called Madison, and he didn't know who this Madison was. But 6 months later, he found her and gave her the message that was from her grandfather who died recently. And he said, "I must sound crazy." And she said, no, I can believe it. Because what happened with her is after her grandfather died, they were looking for information on his life insurance, and she found this business card that was for somebody who worked in insurance. And she thought, well, I'll give him a call and see what we can find out. So she called this guy, and this woman's name was Madison, and she lived in Idaho. And this guy answered the phone, and she said, "Is this such and such insurance?" He goes, no. He goes, "What number did you call?" And they checked the number, and she'd got the area code wrong, but all the rest of the numbers were right. And she said, "Oh, I'm trying to find this insurance for my grandfather. He died recently." And the guy's saying, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What's your name?" And she says, "I'm Madison." And he goes, "Where are you?" And she says, "Well, I'm in Idaho." And this guy's in California. He goes, "I can't believe this. I had a car accident recently, and the car flipped over, and I wasn't badly hurt, but it was a bad accident. And I was kind of semi-conscious lying in the car just after the accident. And I heard a guy shouting, 'Tell Madison in Idaho I'm okay.' And he just kept repeating it. And then when the police turned up and the ambulance guys, I was asking them, who was this guy who was shouting at me? And they said, no, your car was all by itself. There was no one there when we arrived. So it's like this weird thing that maybe that phone call was orchestrated in some way, that she would get that message from her grandfather, from this complete stranger in California. And it's just amazing how that synchronicity happened.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. And again, guys, I don't want to be repetitive, but I strongly encourage you guys to go check out the Alien UFO podcast hosted by Simon Bowne, our guest today, and also the Past Lives podcast. I'm telling you, two of the best podcasts I've ever heard in my life. You know, probably the strongest on the subject. If I could ask you one or two more questions. Do you feel like you've had any premonitions whatsoever?
Well, I did have one thing once, and this was quite powerful at the time. And I've told people about it, and some of them said, oh, that's just deja vu. But it wasn't. The thing was, this was back about 1998. And a friend of mine had moved to New Zealand a few years beforehand. And she was getting married, and she invited me to the wedding. And I said, yeah, okay. And I've never been to New Zealand before. And I said, what do you want as a wedding present? She said, just get me some cheap rubbish from London, just something to do with London. I was like, okay. So I went right into the center of town, and I was walking down the street thinking about what to buy her. And suddenly I had this vision, and it was really strong, that I was sitting in her car. She was driving. It was this small red car, and we were going through suburban Christchurch in New Zealand. I looked at the houses, the way they looked, the color they were, the street names. She was talking about something, and this lasted about 30 seconds. And then 2 weeks later, I'm in New Zealand, and exactly that happened. And so that was a stretch of time. It was about 30 seconds, and deja vu doesn't last 30 seconds. And also, it's not so detailed. I got the street names right, and there's a particular way they build their houses in that part of Christchurch. It's because they're on a fault line. They have earthquakes, so they build them out of wood, and they paint them these kind of pastel colors, and they're a particular design. And, you know, I had no idea their houses looked like that. How could I know that? And the fact that she had that small red car and what she was talking about. So that was a premonition, I suppose. I had this vision of this stuff happening. And it's something like, I talk to other people who have these premonitions and things, and it always seems so weird and random and very rarely useful. But yeah, that's a sort of premonition I had.
That's fascinating. The only one that I had that made any sense, really. Well, there's two. I'll tell the more serious one first. The first was when I was probably 11 or 12, and I heard a man yelling. It sounded like he was in pain. And I had a tremendous sense that he was in danger. And less than 10 seconds to a minute, my parents, they threw open my door, and they said, Uncle Jim just had a minor heart attack. So that's the one that is less significant. The one that's more significant, I'll try to tell this as quickly as possible. I had, I owned a tree service. We removed trees, we cut them down, we would trim them. And I sold a humongous job, at least for my, you know, how I live, you know. I sold a job for a little over $6,000, which is pretty solid. You know, my average job is only like $800, but it had a really weird contract that we wrote up. It was basically, you know, I had to have four guys on, four, you know, climbers on at all times. It was a 6-day job, and he wanted us to work 10-hour days. So this was a very successful businessman who knew how to write up contracts, and that's exactly what he did. On day 4 of 6, the best climber that we had by far. He's a Korean American climber. He probably weighs at the time 155, 160, which is a tremendous build for a climber. And he injured himself while he was on the ground. What the mistake he made is he did not have his chaps on. That's CHAPS, chaps. And he put a chainsaw into his right thigh. He Ooh. Was less than a half inch of bleeding out, because had he hit that artery in his thigh and I had to drive him 40 minutes away, he would have passed in the process. But what happened was I was walking roadside. I had a helmet on, a tree helmet with earmuffs, because we were right next to a chipper. Chipper is, you know, what you feed the branches into to have them cut up and turned into essentially mulch. And I was walking with two of our guys. Kevin was the only one by himself, because there had to be four of us. And he was probably 200-300 yards away, working on the other side of the property, which was absolutely enormous, probably like 15 to 20 acres. He did not put his chaps on back after lunch, which is a chainsaw resistant pant that you wear over your pants. So what was happening? I was walking roadside, and we had just finished eating lunch. We had a healthy lunch, a submarine sandwich with water, Gatorade. It was May in Michigan, the United States, and it was cold. It was probably 55, 60 degrees. So we were fully hydrated. I was walking roadside with a chainsaw in one hand, a very heavy one, and a gas oil, one-gallon can in my right hand. And I have my headphones on. I'm trying to figure out which trees need to come down roadside, like which trees could fall and potentially hit a car. The next thing I know, I lost my equilibrium. I wasn't able to walk. It was almost like if you're watching a boxing match and you see somebody get hit really hard in the jaw, they kind of lose their legs. And that's what happened to me. I essentially collapsed. And the two guys with me were yelling into my ear because we were right next to the chipper, like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm fine." And I probably sat down for like a minute and 15 seconds. I finally got back up to my feet, and somebody came sprinting at me. They were hitting my back really hard. They were yanking on my sweater. I turned around. I'm like, "What? What's going on?" And he's screaming as loud as he can. He's like, "Kevin's down. Kevin's down." I'm like, "What do you mean Kevin's down? Did he fall out of a tree?" And he's like, "I don't know. I can just hear him screaming." So we sprinted off in that direction. I found him. He was covered in blood. His hands were covered in blood. I don't know where he found it. He found a bungee cord. I don't know if they have them in the UK or if you call them something different, but it was like really stretchy thing with hooks on it. He tied that around tied it around his thigh to stop the bleeding. And the only thing that makes sense is I had that feeling where I collapsed the same exact moment where he put that chainsaw into his thigh and almost passed away. That's probably the biggest premonition that I've ever had. And I think we're getting pretty close to the hour mark. Simon, do you have any questions for me or anything that you'd like to promote?
Well, with your experiences that you've had with ETs, have you had telepathic communication? Because I had a thing happen to me a few weeks ago, and I've talked to Mike Leland about this. I'm just wondering if you get communication from them. And it seems like a weird thing to say, how does it sound? Because there isn't any sound, it's telepathy. But do you get a voice in your head?
So the only time I've ever got a response whatsoever or at all was when I was speaking. I was in a very tough part of my life. This was last year. So I had the podcast for about, I'm not sure, maybe like 5 or 6 months. I fell into a extremely severe depression. During this time, I lost about 38 pounds in 9 weeks. So that's a little over 2 months. I stopped eating. I would eat at work a scoop of peanut butter, a boiled egg, whatever it may be. And I did not eat breakfast or dinner and I just laid in bed from, I had to start work at 7:30 a.m. But when I got home at 4:30 or 4 o'clock, I would lay in bed until I had to wake up at 7:30. So I stopped the podcast entirely. And, man, I'm rambling a bit here. Telepathic thought voices. Yeah, I only had one. It was during that time I had, you know, been away from doing podcasts for nearly a year. I was laying in bed, and I'll just speak bluntly. I was suicidal, getting ready to act it out, you know, within the coming days. And I just, in my head, I was laying next to my wife. It was a Sunday, which, again, is like a Christ day. I don't know, you know, I'm not religious, so all these Christ-related holidays where I keep seeing owls and having these experiences, even when an owl presented itself when I telepathically asked it to, we're all on Sundays. I don't know why it keeps happening. It doesn't make sense, but that's what's happening. And I was laying in bed. I was at the lowest point of my life. And telepathically, I wasn't like sitting in a meditative position. I wasn't playing any meditative music. I was just asking or demanding answers, really. I wasn't asking to speak to God or Gaia or my spirit guides. I was just asking for anything. I mean, I was saying stuff like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Who am I really? And then as soon as I said, who am I really? A voice, I don't even know that I could say it was a voice. I don't know if it was mine. I don't know if it was somebody else's. It was just there. And it said, Adomi. And then I started going, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I started praying because I got scared. And it stopped. And I immediately started searching Adomi. Here in the U.S., we have a lot of Hispanic people. I've dated, you know, numerous Hispanic women. So I just assumed it was A-D-O-M-I. Adomi, A-D-O-M-I. I didn't find anything on it for 3 to 5 weeks. I really don't remember. I researched it intensely. A-D-O-M-I, didn't find anything. And I convinced myself that I was losing it, you know, that I'm just somehow making this up. And then one day I said, well, what if it's A-D-O-M-E? What if it's E-D-O-M-E? Well, I guess that, Adomi. And as soon as I wrote A-D-O-M-E and E-D-O-M-E, Adomi, it popped up, finally, after, you know, 5 weeks, 3 weeks. Apparently, Adomi is a singular form of the Edomites. And the Edomites were these people who lived in Jerusalem before the time of the pharaohs. And, you know, that was confirmation. I believe that that's one of my spirit guides. I only have two. One is my father's father, who died away. Or I'm sorry, he died 2 months after I was born. And he lived in the other part of the United States. I never physically met him, or he never physically met me. And I talked to a psychic one time. You know, I'm not sure how difficult of a time you have, but when you're first starting out in podcasting, it's kind of hard to get people to come on because they know that you're not really established. So one time I brought on a psychic, and I'll be perfectly honest, I didn't fully believe it, Simon. I didn't know what to think about it. And I got so nervous about not being able to ask her appropriate questions that I had my wife come on. And my wife believed in psychics, or at least the possibility of people being psychic. And I was not looking for a reading whatsoever, you know, because, again, I didn't really fully believe in it. And out of nowhere, she goes, I keep seeing a little boy with you. And that felt like I got hit in my chest with a cinder block, because 2 or 3 months before that, we had a miscarriage. And she just kept saying she keeps seeing a little boy with you, with the two of you. And I was like, well, how old is it? And she's like, yeah, an infant? You know, like, you know, he can't, you know. And then she started saying, asking me questions about myself that is impossible to have knowledge of. She goes, did you almost die when you were a kid? I was like, no. And then I was like, yes, I did. How old, you know, like, how old are you talking about? She's like 5, 6. And I did. I almost died in that trailer park that we used to live in. And she goes, well, he was with you that night. And I was like, who was with me? And she's like, he's saying that he's your grandfather. And I knew right away who it was. He also sat on my bed on my 21st birthday. He also sat on three other members of our family's bed. My uncle, Jeff, he sat on his bed, he said, nearly a dozen times. My cousin Justin once, myself twice, and my grandma, who was married to him, probably, I don't know how many. She says, when I finally asked her, I was like, did you ever have the sensation of somebody sitting on your bed? And she's like, yeah. I was like, well, what do you think it was? She goes, that's your grandpa, Charles. He sits on my bed all the time, and I ask him to lay down with me. He never does, and he just sits on the bed. And so anyway, that's a long-winded way of saying that I've only got one telepathic thought voice once. And after I got it, you know, I meditate now and I telepathically communicate to what I can only assume is my spirit guides. And I had it confirmed by that psychic woman. Her name is Diana Calamia from Texas. Originally, she's living in Connecticut right now. And I guess last thing, I can put a button on this. She knew how my wife's grandfather died by a train. He killed himself after his daughter had died. She knew about that. She called me, well, you know, probably 7-8 months after I stopped the podcast entirely. And she said, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing good. And in my head, I'm thinking, why is Diana Calamia reaching out to me? You know, and I thought it was a little strange, but I'm a polite guy. I was like, you know, it's really good to hear from you, Diane. I hope everything's doing, you know, everything's going well. I hope your husband, JR, is doing good. And she goes, I just want you to know something. I was like, okay. And she's like, Heather's pregnant right now and she's in danger. And I didn't know how to receive that at all. I kind of nervously laughed. And then I said, what do you mean by that? And she's like, she's pregnant right now, and I think she's going to have a problem. And I did, again, I had no idea how to handle that response. So I was like, well, it's really good. Thank you, Diana, for letting me know. And I'll bring that to Heather's attention. And my wife comes home at 5:36. You know, it's probably 7 or 8 before I told her. I kind of forgot about it because I didn't believe it. And she's like, or I was like, you know who I spoke to today? She's like, who? I was like, Diane, or Diana, Lady D. And she's like, okay. And she's like, I'm sorry. I said, she told me that you're pregnant. And she laughed. And I laughed too. We've been married for 6 years. We've been trying to have kids during that whole entire time. And we've only had one miscarriage. And so, you know, we're at the point now where if it happens, it happens. But, she must have been, it must have been stewing on her. She must have been thinking about it. And I was running to the store to get some groceries for dinner. And she said, hey, why don't you pick up a couple of pregnancy tests? You know, like, don't get the cheapest ones. Get, like, the middle of the road ones. So I did. And sure enough, there were two pink lines on both of them. And so we said, okay, we're pregnant right now. You know, we started eating healthier. And then about 2 to 3 weeks later, she started spotting. Spotting is just a term for when women are kind of, it seems like they're having their period, but it typically means when you're pregnant that the baby will not successfully be born, that it's a miscarriage. So we've been through this process before. She called her sister, who is a very high-ranking nurse within her hospital that she works at. I wish I could remember the acronym. It's higher than an RN here in the States. I think it's a BSN. She has a bachelor's in science nursing. That's probably not right. But she said, yeah, we ran it by her. And she's like, well, this is very typical. It's very common. You guys just had another miscarriage. And this is going to make me more fertile for the next time around. Less than 1 week later, we were supposed to go to Hawaii. We're bringing our friend who lives in a nursing home. He's kind of like a father figure to the both of us. We were going to bring him to Hawaii for 11 days. And less than 24 hours before we're supposed to leave, she's at work and she collapsed. And I'm trying to get my hair cut at a barbershop, and she's calling me. I'm at a barbershop. There's 40 people in there. I'm up next. Calling me. And I finally pick up right before I had to step outside. And it was somebody calling from my wife's phone, but it wasn't my wife. And I didn't recognize who it was at first. I'm like, you need to get up here right now. And I was like, what's going on? I was like, is this Heather? And they're like, no, this is Olivia. I was like, what do you mean? What's going on? And she's like, Heather just passed out. She hit her head pretty hard on the concrete when she was trying to go to lunch. And she's saying that she has a lot of pain in her stomach. So, and I'm rambling, Simon, I apologize. But
okay.
She had an atopic, I think it's called an atopic pregnancy. That very well could be wrong. But essentially what it was it was the fetus was growing on the outside of her uterus. She lost 7 liters. It's either liters or quarts. I always mix that up. I should know that being her husband. But the OBGYN said, I've never seen anybody lose this amount of blood. And she's most, I was like, how serious is this really? And they're like, this is almost double what I've ever seen somebody lose. And they're like, I know she keeps talking about Hawaii and how you guys have to leave in like 8 hours. That's not going to happen. And my wife is a very strong-willed young lady. She's Swedish-American. And she said, no, we are going. And then it was a mess. Essentially what happened, though, is this woman from Texas or Connecticut predicted the whole entire thing. And that's when I started taking people with psychic abilities serious.
Yeah, it's interesting that you got the call. The was it a lady called Diana? She must have really had it impressed upon her that she needs to contact you. And did she say who gave her the message?
So I asked her with the original interview, and again, it's not one of our stronger ones, to be honest. It's very early on. I'd say it was in the first, like, probably 3 to 5 episodes. And I had to cut probably 40 minutes out of it. That might be an over-exaggeration. It might have been more like 25, 30. But she was saying so many impossibly accurate things that it made my wife wildly uncomfortable. And I would post it. She would listen to it. She didn't like a handful of it. I would delete those things. And then, her family would listen to it. They heard some things that were too personal. I'd have to take those out. But it wasn't the best episode, really. But if I published the whole thing, it would have been absolutely incredible. So if I had to ask you one more question, we only have about 8 more minutes here, Simon. I feel that I've been abducted. It's been confirmed by multiple sources. I'm 1/8 Cherokee Indian, and for whatever reason, they seem to be interested in American Indians. I'm not sure why. Do you ever feel like, or do you have any sense at all that you could have possibly been either in contact with NDE? I meant to say in ET. I can't remember the acronym that people prefer them to be called now. Non-human intelligence, NHI.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you've either been in contact with them or been on craft yourself?
I was being taken through a past life regression, and part of the process is you go through the death of the past life, which is, it's very rare that it's traumatic. It's usually you're just very old and you just kind of die and feel a great sense of relief as you leave your body. But I was looking down on my body, and the hypnotherapist was saying to me, just drift away, just tell me the next thing you see, just allow yourself to drift away from that life. And then it was like somebody flicked a switch from zero to maximum, and I was terrified lying there in that hypnotherapist's office. And in my mind, I was lying on a table with these 3 grays around me, and I looked to be maybe 20 years younger than I was in that room at that time. And so I had that memory come up in hypnosis. And it wasn't that we were trying to recover anything to do with UFOs or aliens. It was a past life regression. So it's not like it could have been hypnotic suggestion from the hypnotherapist or me thinking about it before the session that, you know, maybe subconsciously I made something up. And I've talked to people who've had ET experiences, Mike Cleland and Peter Robbins and others, and they all say, oh, yeah, we think something really did happen to you there. It's just the emotional response you had and the, all these different things that I saw. So that came up. I haven't got any conscious memories of anything happening, but yeah, that came up in hypnosis.
That's fascinating. We've got about 5 minutes left. I'd like to ask you one more question, and then I'll tell you something about myself. So, you know, when I bring guests on, especially people as yourself, I really just would like to promote their work. But I'll quickly tell this story in 2 to 3 minutes about something that I guess I'll ask with, I'll start with the question. What was your impression of Dolly Safran?
Yes, she was. She was really good. I talked to Preston Dennett, and he has a lot of confidence in her. And Preston's talked to so many people who have these experiences. So if he says, you know, like you can trust her, she's genuine, then you got to listen.
Yeah, I strongly suggest, I mean, every single episode that Simon does on the Aliens UFO podcast is absolutely incredible. My favorite episode, the one I've listened to the most, on average, Simon, I listen to yours 2 or 3 times over. honest to God, I'm not exaggerating. I have a very difficult time of focusing on one thing at the same time. But when I listen to yours and Nick's from UFO Chronicles, I have to listen to them 2 or 3 times over. Maybe the same way that somebody might love a song, say, by the Beatles, and they'll listen to it 2 or 3 times over to really retain the lyrics. But the episode that I enjoy the most, Simon, is yours with Dolly Safran and Preston Dennett. And when I reached out to them, to be honest, I never thought they would come on. I mean, Preston is one of the most impressive authors alive today within the ufology community. And I believe he wrote like 39 or 40, 41 books in about a 32-year span, which is absolutely insane, really. And he claims that out of the 900 people he's interviewed intimately, her account and experience is the most legitimate. And when she came on, after about the 30-40 minute mark, she claimed that she's been on craft with me. And she said, when you're on craft, you are paralyzed in fear, which, again, I know that I am, because when they come into my room, you know, when they, it starts off very bright, and then the next thing I know, they're coming in, and then I essentially black out. One time, the most recent was about a year ago, when I was 36, I'm 37 now, I woke up, we were sleeping on a mattress on the ground because we broke our bed frame. And, you know, we don't sleep with lights on at all. I can't sleep with any lights on whatsoever. I have to have the fan and the air conditioning on. It's a window. You stick it in your window and it makes a lot of noise. And then the fan, of course, makes like a humming type noise. I never heard or saw anything, with the exception of the light. But I always sleep with my left arm around my wife's waist. I have to lay on my right side, left arm on her waist. We were facing north, towards the hallway of our bedroom in the stairwell. And I woke up in complete panic and fear, confusion. And my left hand was already around my wife's, I'm sorry, my left arm was already around my wife's waist. And I yanked her off the bed to the south, towards the window. And what happened was, I didn't want what happened to me happen to her. At least that's how I would explain it after it happened. I didn't know why I was saying that, but that's what I said. It was like a Freudian slip, if you will. And her, you know, my back and head should have hit the wooden floor. Her back of the head should have hit my face, and her chest should have hit my, I'm sorry, her back should have hit my chest. None of that happened at all. I didn't injure myself whatsoever. She didn't injure herself. She has no recollection of it whatsoever. She might as well have been in a coma. And it got really bright to the point I couldn't see, and then I blacked out. And the next thing I remember, her and I are laying on the bed again. And I wrote it down. I write down any dream, not dreams, and that's what I wrote down. And that's the last time I can remember them coming into my reality. So looks like we just hit that hour mark. Simon, I really do appreciate your time. I strongly suggest any of our listeners go check out his podcast. It's absolutely phenomenal. He has two of them, the Past Lives podcast and the Aliens UFO podcast. And please click the link in the show notes to visit his website. And if you'd like to set up a session, I can guarantee you, I haven't done one myself. I just don't have the funds for it. But he'll talk to you. He'll do a free, you know, 10 to 20 minutes just to try to understand what you've been experiencing, what you may believe that your past lives have been. And Simon, I really appreciate your time. And do you have anything else that you'd like to say to our listeners?
Well, it's been good talking to you. And yeah, you know, I do these past life regressions with so many people, and I do them almost every day, and have hundreds and hundreds of sessions. And one thing that keeps coming through is just about every session that people communicate with their spirit guide, and their spirit guide says to them that it's like a message for everybody that you're not alone, and that you're always supported. And if you need help from your guides, you just need to ask. They won't just step in and help if they think you need help. You've got to ask for it. Something to do with free will. But that's a message that I always hear. So I always like to pass it on.
Yeah. If you guys are interested in meditation, I strongly suggest you go back to the most recent interview that we had. A Puerto Rican American rapper named Rafael Lugo, or Skits the PLK. I first discovered his story on the UFO Chronicles. I had a tremendous sense that I was supposed to contact him. He, on the podcast, they played a song called Calling All Hybrids. I know this probably sounds a little silly to some of you. He only raps or sings or makes music about peace, love, and light, community, taking care of one another, raising your vibrations. His website is called schizomusic.com. That's S-K-I-T-Z-O music.com. And after hearing the song that they played on his episode, I immediately emailed Nick Hunter from the UFO Chronicles. He gave me his information. And according to Rafael Lugo, or Skits the PLK, he said that I was the first person to ever write him about his music, or more specifically about that song, and that he thinks it was almost like a beacon, or like a lighthouse, you know. And I found him, you know, and we'll talk more about this some other time, Simon, if you'd like to do an episode again. But I truly believe that I'm part of the hybridization program, and that myself, at the very least, I'm in some sense of the word a hybrid. So Simon, I really do appreciate your time. Again, last time, guys, Aliens, UFOs podcast, the Past Lives podcast. If you want to learn more about Simon and his work, please click the link below. And Simon, I really do appreciate it. It was a complete honor. And I'm only interested in educating myself and our listeners on ufology and experiencer and, you know, contactees, abductees. So I really do appreciate the work you're doing. I think it means a lot to a lot of people, and I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been really interesting talking to you. Thanks for inviting me on.
Absolutely. It was a complete honor. And yeah, because of your program, I've advanced my knowledge within this field tremendously. And You know, it was really great talking to you. I hope we can keep in touch.
Yeah, great.
So if it's okay, Simon, maybe we can talk for 20, 30 seconds. This is off air now?
Or not? Yeah, okay.
None of this will be aired. Is there anything within that conversation that you'd like me to phrase differently?
No, it's fine. There's nothing I'd ask you to change.
Okay. I just like to ask our guests that because sometimes I'll talk about, not in this case, but a lot of times experiencers, we had another woman, Indy from North Carolina, and she was also part of the hybridization program, which again, I feel incredibly overprotective of her, not in any romantic way whatsoever. She's married. I'm married happily. And, the day that I heard that owl on our property that my wife heard, the young man that I was on the phone with from Montana heard, he's also an experiencer. My wife and I are both experiencers. I telepathically asked, you know, if I'm supposed to be in contact with this woman, can you please show me an owl or let me hear one? I don't want to see a craft. You know, I don't want to see an alien, you know, come into my reality. Can you just please let me hear or see an owl? And then an owl flew over me. And then I was like, okay. So I called her. We talked for an hour and a half. I got home. I called my buddy who's an experiencer for Wyoming. Before I could say hello, an obnoxiously loud owl started hooting. And it sounded like it was about 30 feet from me. And he goes, this is not live or on air or will be published. He goes, is that a fucking owl?
Yeah.
And I could barely talk. And before I responded to him, I whipped open my back door. I said, Heather, come out here. That's my wife. And she's like, I'm like, what is that noise? And she goes, that's an owl. And I'm like, where is it? You know, we have floodlights in our backyard. We can see all the trees on our property. I was like, where's the owl? She looked for 30 seconds and goes, I don't know. I can't see it. I looked for 3 to 5 minutes. Couldn't see it. I hung up on my friend from Wyoming. I was only talking to my wife, and I telepathically said, when I look in your direction, I want you to hoot. When I turn my back, I want you to stop. And it did that for 2 to 3 minutes. And I lived in this neighborhood for 11 or 12 years. I've never seen or heard an owl because it's not far from the city. And that happened 2 months ago. And every 3 weeks, I'll hear an owl hooting, and I can't find it. Because I don't even think it's an owl. I think they just like to let me hear that when I'm not sure of myself.
Yeah, it's a sign. That's like it might be they're sending a message.
Yeah, I even asked one time, and then I'll let you go because I'm rambling. I kind of want to get your opinion on this. One time during meditation, I asked them to physically show me what they look like, my spirit guides, or at least that's who I thought I was talking to. And it appeared as an owl. It looked plain as day, like an owl. And it was in my pitch black room. I was not sleeping at all. During that time, I was sleeping an hour and a half to 3 hours a day, if at all. It appeared as an owl, humongous. I mean, it looked like it was 3 to 4 feet tall. It would not look at me. It was facing the opposite direction of me. I was only looking at the back of an owl that was looking in a different direction. When it turned its head, I could see that it wasn't fully an owl. Its eyes were pitch black, elongated. It just not an owl's eyes. Owls have circular eyes. And then I started to see shoulders. It looked like I only saw it from the chest up or like the shoulder. I'm not sure how to say that. I saw what looked to be an incredibly skinny man's shoulders and arms. And then I started going, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it disappeared, and it's never showed itself fully as an owl since then. Can you make sense of any of that? Have you ever heard anything like that?
I've heard something like that from Mike Cleland. So I was wondering if you were going to be talking about getting an image of a spirit guide and seeing a person. But it's like there's some kind of crossover going there. And it seems like spirit guides, they can choose any form they want to present themselves to you. But that seemed more like an ET thing, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I really thought I was speaking only with my spirit guides. When they present themselves, my grandfather, my father's father, presents himself as a dull blue light, the size of the basketball, that circular, and it kind of fades back and forth from being bright and not bright. The other one appears, again, about the size of a basketball or a soccer ball, a football ball in the UK. A circular ball. This one is almost like a dark blue, purple. And again, it behaves the same way. It emanates and then gets brighter, emanates, or, you know, dissipates, gets larger. And more recently, I've been seeing softball. So picture a baseball, but it's like three times the size, softball size orbs on my property, weaving in between trees. And they have a dark orange yellow color. And they do not stay in a straight path at all. They weave in between the trees. The oak trees on our property are probably anywhere from 80 to about 110 feet. And that's really the last experience I've had.
Yeah, you're having so much more experiences than I have. And you already know how this stuff happens to other people who have ET contact as well. And it's just weird, isn't it? It's just, why is that happening?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, according to Dolly, I'll do 30 more seconds to let you go. I know your time is valuable, and it's probably nearly 7:30 where you live. But according to Dolly Safran, they've been interested in our genetics, our lineage for decades. My father tells a story that he was, you know, when he was taken, and it basically they were in the form of orbs during broad daylight. He was a kid. I think he said he was like 5 or 6, and he felt that he was supposed to lay down on the ground. Three orbs came down, and the next thing he knows, he wakes up, and it's much later in the day. He also saw a UFO. Again, he's 63. He saw a UFO, or what he thinks were orbs, when he was 6. He didn't remember anything whatsoever about aliens, UFOs, being abducted. And like 4 days before I talked to Dolly, he was shown a UFO. And that happened on Tuesday. And I talked to Dolly on Saturday. Dolly calls me on Sunday and says, "Did your father just see a UFO?" And she keeps asking questions about my father. It's very strange. She's like, "Your father's 63? I'm like, "Uh-huh." Like, I'm thinking she's just looking up. And she's like a highly psychic person who's also interested in aliens. I didn't believe her at all. And I'm like, she goes, "Did your father just see a UFO?" I was like, "No, he didn't." You know, I said it more politely. I was like, "I don't think so." And she goes, "Well, call me back when you get more details." I was like, "Okay." And then I called my sister. I'm on my way to my parents' house. They're getting ready to move. And I said, "Tosh, Dolly just told me that Dad saw a UFO a couple days ago." And she's like, "He did." And my heart sunk. I could barely talk. I was like, "What do you mean?" You know, I host a podcast about aliens and UFOs and ghost stories. Why the fuck wouldn't he call me? And she said, "I don't know." But I got to my dad's house probably less than 10 minutes later. I was like, "Did you see a UFO in the last week?" He goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "Really?" He's like, "On Tuesday morning, I was driving to work." My dad's a psycho, so he starts work at 4:30 a.m. and he doesn't start his shift till like 6 in the morning. So he's driving, and out of nowhere, he took a video of it and multiple pictures. And in the video, unfortunately, he has a dad phone or an old man phone, not a very good phone. And it looked terrible. You could barely just see the three orbs or three lights. And they all were going opposite directions, not in a plane or a satellite path whatsoever, not going straight. They seemed to be almost dancing around or just going in every which way. And in the video, you know, he's a guy from Detroit, and, you know, he lived in Appalachia also, but he goes, "What the fuck is that?" He's like, "What is that?" And it's probably an 8 to 10 second video. And the only thing that would make sense to me, Simon, is that they were showing themselves to me. According to Dolly, it's a craft named Talata. And they showed it to my father. So 4 days later, when I go to my parents and say, my whole entire family, really, every single member of our family was there, moving them into their new house. And when I say, you know, when I tell them, like, hey, you know, according to this woman, we've been, they've been interested in us for generations, and that Tosh and I have been on craft, I think that lessened the blow for them. I think it made it less insane. And out of the six of us, there's five kids, two adults. Only three take it serious. The other three think I'm a lunatic. But yeah, but it's been 1:15. Simon, I really do appreciate your time. Really love your podcast, and I just want to say thank you for doing the work that you've done.
Thanks a lot for asking me to come be part of your podcast.
Yeah, and I know that you're predominantly interested in authors, which is extremely sensible and makes all the sense in the world to me. If you're interested in bringing on Raphael Lugo or Skits the PLK, it's a little different than anything I've ever done. He's a young guy. He's a Puerto Rican American who raps, but he's only rapping about helping people, you know, community and raising your vibrations and meditating. If you'd ever be interested in bringing him on, he has a documentary coming out on Amazon Prime in about 2 weeks. And I think it'd make for a really interesting conversation between the two of you. So if you ever do want to connect with him, you know, just reach out to me and I'd love to get you in connection with him.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for the documentary.
Yeah, I sent you a 90-second trailer for it. When the documentary comes out, I'll send it to you for free, of course, and you can review it. But I really appreciate your time, Simon.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Well, have a good day.
Yeah, you too. And this was a complete honor, and I hope you enjoy the remaining hours of your weekend.
Yeah, me too. All right. We'll see you then. Maybe we'll talk again.
Yeah, I hope so. Cheers, mate.
All right. Bye.
Bye now.